Let us all come before God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving that we come to Thee once again, because we have Thy Word open before us. This is a great privilege that we have, to know that Thou hast shown Thyself, revealed Thyself. Thou art speaking to us through Thy Word. Thou art drawing near to us. Lord, this is a great privilege. Give us ears to hear and hearts to receive the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Amen. Friends, this morning I want to speak to you from this portion that we read together from Genesis chapter 4 about the fact how guilty sinners can be washed through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say something about the fact that sinners who are guilty may have much to be concerned about, and yet there is a way back to God through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that this portion that we have read together about the case of the death of Abel and how Cain, the brother of Abel, slew Abel is familiar to you. But here is something that speaks to us in our day. All of the Bible is so relevant to us. All of the Bible speaks to every generation. It doesn't matter where you are from. It speaks to us even now. Whenever anyone does anything wrong, and you can apply it to yourself, whenever you do something wrong, there is a voice in your mind. There is something in your soul that speaks about it. And God, when we do things, God speaks to us through our conscience. He convicts us. He convicts us when we fall, when we sin, when we do something that is done that is wrong and against Him, because He has written His law upon our hearts. And so when we go against that, then it is going to speak to us. And what God says is what He said to Cain, "What hast thou done?" in verse 10. And he said, "What hast thou done?" And you know, all of those circumstances in your life, God says to you, "What have you done? What have you done?" And so He has placed in every person a conscience, a divine monitor, which rebukes us when we misbehave, and it commends us when we do what's right. Animals don't possess a conscience. Think about it. We are not animals. We are human beings. And so we have a conscience. When a fish bites the head of another fish, a smaller fish, it suffers no pangs of conscience. But people are made in the image of God. A man is urged to do what is right, even at considerable cost to himself. A person believes it is honorable and noble to lay down his life for his friends. Parents will voluntarily suffer that their children may not be in want and in need. A husband will sacrifice himself for his wife and children. And then it is that in various circumstances, when we do what is right according to the Word of God, it commends us. We feel at peace. Our conscience is at ease about it. Now here we come to Cain. Cain had killed his brother. Cain had, in that ruthless fashion, killed his own brother. And God addresses this murderer personally in a manner in which He doesn't speak to men today, but God's Word is speaking to us today. I mean that Cain, like his parents before him, actually heard the voice of God questioning. The Lord asked questions, and He said, for example, to Adam and Eve, "Where art thou? Where are you?" He asks Cain, "What hast thou done?" He says in verse 9, "Where is thy brother? Where is Abel thy brother?" And he says, "Am I my brother's keeper? What hast thou done?" Today God speaks to us in the Bible, from the Bible, through sermons that you hear, through something that you have heard from your childhood. God speaks to you through His Word. Whenever the Word of God is faithfully preached, God speaks. He speaks to our consciences. And does He speak to you today? He does. And He says to each one of us here this morning, what have you done? What have you done? He says to us this morning, whatever you have done, whatever you are guilty, in whatever manner you have failed and sinned against me who am holy, there is a way back to God. That's what He says to us this morning. There's a way back to God. There is a blood that was shed, which was not Abel's blood. 2,000 years ago, God shed the blood of His own Son so that we might be forgiven. And in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, we have the words that says that there is the voice of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that speaks better things than the blood which was shed from Abel. That the voice of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ speaks peace to our hearts, speaks peace to sinners like us. Now, there are a number of things I want us to notice from this passage that we have read together. The first thing that I want you to note is that God searches all about what we have done with our lives. God searches every one of us about what we have done with our lives. That's what we see. What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. It is the all-knowing God who interrogates Cain. And it is the all-knowing God who speaks to us as well. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to a Samaritan woman. And during the conversation, He said to her, go call thy husband and come hither. He says, go and get your husband. And she said to Him, I have no husband. But the Lord Jesus Christ knew all about her. Knew all about her past. And we read this in John chapter 4 and verse 17 and 18. And Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidest thou truly. The Lord knew him, her. Knew that she had various husbands in the past. She had been in all kinds of sinful relationships in the past too. And now even this man that she is with, she's in a wicked relationship. You can't, and I can't, cover anything from the Lord. He possesses what we call omniscience. All knowledge. That's what God possesses. You don't have that. That's one of the attributes, that one of the characteristics of God only. The Lord Jesus Christ, again, thinking about the Lord Jesus, He knew what was in man, the Scripture says. He knew about a man called Nathanael when he was still in the shade under that fig tree. He knew what was going through his mind, what he was thinking about, and what was fascinating him, the questions that arose in his heart, the concerns that arose in his heart. And so when he approached him, he said, I know what you have been thinking about. You've been thinking about the Messiah. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said to him. Friends, God is the Lord who knows each one of us. Everything about your life, everything about my life is utterly naked in His sight. And He says to us, what have you done? What's your life like? What can you say about that? It's a question that is repeated to us. Because God wants you to think about your life. He wants you to take a check of where you are this morning. Not where you were a year ago, where you were 10 years ago, but where you are now, this morning. What have you done? What have you done with this one life which God has given to you. There was a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching in the open air, this man said, you're wasting your life. You have just one life and you're wasting it like this. And he didn't wait to find out the answer for this. But what a life God has given us. The Lord has given you, this is true, one life. You have one opportunity. And after that is eternity. That's the thing that people don't think about. They're living their life just for now. But they forget that they have a never-dying soul that they must be concerned about as well. But praise God, God is concerned for us. God thinks upon us. That's why He asks you these questions. That's why He comes and challenges you. Because He wants to show you His love and His concern and His grace. What are you doing? What are you doing? He says, have you served God in your life? Do you know the Lord? Have you said no to sin? Have you followed Him? Have you loved Him with all your heart? Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? What have you done? What's going on in your life like right now? What will you say to God on that great day? The great day of resurrection and judgment? What fruit of faith has been in your life? What victories over temptations have you had? Have you had godly zeal? Have you had self-denial? Have you known the love of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Do you know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Has there been ever a time in your life that you've sought the Lord and you've found the Lord? What have you done with the gospel? This good news of salvation. The Lord Jesus Christ says to us this morning, whatever you have done in your life, this morning, this is one thing I want you to do. Come unto me. Come unto me. Can we seek Him with all our hearts this morning? Is that your heart's desire? Has God inclined your heart to seek Him this morning? What have you done? He said that to that sinner Cain. And He's saying this to us as well. The second thing is this. That of God's response to our sin. God speaks to us about His response to our sin. Do you hear these other words that the Lord said to Cain? He says in verse 10, what hast thou done? And then He says this, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. What is He saying? He says, your life and your actions matter, Cain. What you do matters to me, Cain. How you live, what you say and do. I notice these things. Things matter, that the things that you do. I am involved in your life, Cain. That's what the Lord is saying. Aren't we held responsible today for what we did in all of our yesterdays and for the things that we plan to do in future, the things that you think, I am going to do that. It doesn't matter what others think. It doesn't matter what God says. I am still planning to go ahead with such and such a thing. That's my intention. And we are held responsible. Cain cannot say, but I killed him hours ago. I killed him yesterday. I killed him 6 years ago. Cain can't say that. What has that got to do with the evil done? How does passing of time change an evil that's been done? There is no forgiveness achieved through the mere passing of the years and think, well, that was done 10 years ago. Those things that I feel guilty about, I did those things a while back. Yes, my calendar is now a new calendar. But with the passing of the months, it doesn't mean that your sin and the guilt passes by. That's why we need the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. We must go to the one who has known all of these things, who've seen all of these things. And He comes to us this morning and He says, I know all about it. And that's why you must come to me. Don't continue on neglecting these things, the Lord is saying. The passing of time doesn't change change your past, my friends. God told Cain that he knew exactly what had happened in the field and what had happened to Abel and how that the blood of Abel kept crying out from the ground. The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me. The murder was crying out, shouting for a response from God. And he acted. He came to Cain and he comes to us and he tells us all that he knows, what we are and what we have done. And he assures us that the sins that hurt others matters to him as well. And so he says to Cain, listen, Cain, listen. Where is Abel thy brother? He says, I know not. And he says, what hast thou done? And now art thou cursed from the earth, he says. And so on. He says, listen to this. Can you hear the voice of your brother's blood? Can you pay attention to it? You killed a man a few hours ago. And now you're trying to turn your mind to a million other things and forget all about that murder. But I want you to listen. There's a voice. Do you hear it? I hear it, God says. I've heard it and I'm responding to it. Abel's blood is crying out. And I have heard. There is a. This is demanding a divine response. You see, the sin that we commit demands a response. It has a voice, speaks to God. And God's judgment comes upon us. The curse of God comes upon us. The curse of God comes upon a nation too. You must have heard, this is just one example. Just over a week ago, on the 27th of March of this year, just over a week ago, the large majority of the MPs have voted in favor of government's new LGBT promotion and indoctrination in the schools. And no one can do anything about it. You can't go and say, no, I won't be listening to these things or go against it. 538 votes in favor of that wicked law and only 21 votes against. And this is what one reporter said, the Independent, published this. They said, if a child grows up in an environment where their parents tell them being LGBT and so on is wrong for religious or other reasons, the child is very likely to believe them unquestionably. Their parents may choose to impart on them homophobic, biphobic, and transphobic views. But in their sexuality and gender identity, these children have no choice. The schools can offer a safe place in which to bring to learn more about themselves, begin to learn more about themselves and their fellow pupils. Now, will God speak to this? Will there be a response against this? We may say what and try to do what we can to raise these issues and say that we reject such things. But my friends, there is one who is above us, far greater than us, who not only speaks in his word about it today, but he will one day deal with all of these things. These people who have voted for these things, their hand is tainted with blood of people, the consciences of people. And that is why this nation, I believe, when such things are passed, it's a demonstration that God's favor is not with us today. God's favor is not with the land today. But here it is. It's up to date. What we read in the Word of God is up to date. Are we prospering as a nation? No. Was Cain prospering? No. God's curse was upon him. And this will be the case for any nation. Righteousness exalteth a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people, the Scripture says. Think about it then. Think about your own life, my friend. Think about the things that you now know in your own heart. Think about the past week, your boys and girls. Did you honor your father and mother? Isn't this the question in the catechism question at the back of the welcome sheet? Honoring father and mother? Is this what you have done? But then now you feel guilty about it. Now you think, well, I wish I didn't say those things, but that remains. What should you do about that? What should have Cain done about it? He should have, instead of arguing with God, he should have admitted to all of these things and said, Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, have mercy upon me. And what should we do this morning? What should I do with my guilt? I should go to Jesus Christ and say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins and repent of my sins and believe on Him. That's what I should do this morning. That's what you should do this morning. And this is available for us this morning. Now let us move on, friends. The third thing that we see here is God's judgment that comes upon Cain. And God judges sin. That's the third thing. So God searches all of us. God responds to sin. And God judges sin. His judgment for Cain was fourfold. Cain was put under a curse, verses 11 and 12. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond thou shalt be in the earth. That's what the Lord says. A curse is coming upon Cain. Cain was a farmer whose one vocation was to produce crops. But the ground was under a curse. It produced weeds and thorns and thistles. The earth or the heaven withheld its rain. The harvest was nil. The beast bleated and they wanted water and died. Cain's family starved. You see, these are pictures of the results of these things, the curse of God upon the ground. All of these things are spiritual pictures here of the soul of a sinner who is under that condemnation. The Lord Jesus Christ says that in John chapter 3 about the condemnation that everyone is under. You're already condemned, He said to them, those who were rejecting Him. But another thing is this. Cain was made a fugitive and a vagabond. That's a wanderer. He didn't have an abiding place. He didn't know where he was going to stay. The firstborn of all mankind became an alien, a wanderer of no fixed abode. Cain had no sense of belonging. And spiritually, that's how you might feel this morning. No sense of belonging. What's all life about? What's the purpose of this life? It's so meaningless, you might think. I'm just going from this to that and to the other thing. I have no direction at all, you might think. But that's what it is. You're like a vagabond. You're like a fugitive. You're just wondering. Just not knowing how is it going to all end? What am I going to stumble across? And by God's grace, here was a fugitive, a vagabond. But he came face to face with God. And this morning you hear the message about the need that each one of us have. And I've already mentioned to you about something of the blood of Christ which was shed for us. And that's the purpose of Calvary, the cross of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came to die upon the cross so that we might be forgiven. And so this morning you hear that. What's your response? Are you not going to settle there under the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? Be there for the rest of your life, saying, that's my glory. That's the thing that I rejoice in, that a Savior died for me, and I'm going to remember that all the time. And here is a man, a wanderer. That's the life of a sinner. But another thing that we see in the case of God's judgment upon sin, it says that Cain was hid from God's face. That's in verse 14. He had hidden his face from the Lord. What was that for? It means that he was away from His presence. He had no Lord to turn to each day. There was no coming to the one Lord who promised, I will give thee rest. He didn't have someone who would say to him, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He had no one to turn to. When we sin and when we are unrepentant, you see, we are separated from God. You are on that journey, that road to your grave, trying to find meaning in life by indulging yourself in this pleasure and that pleasure. And you're a restless soul. You are a lonely soul. And yet you were made to know God. Every one of us have been made to know God and to enjoy God and to, and that not just for now, but forever. But what do we do? What sin has done? Brought about a great separation between us and God. And so we are away from His face, from His presence. Another thing that we see is this. It says, Cain is desperately fearful. That's another curse of God upon him. The fear. He's fearful of people. He says, everyone that findeth me shall kill me. It says in verse 14. Everyone that findeth me shall kill me. He didn't know that knock on the door. Is it someone to kill him? That person who looks at him, is he the man who kills him? That sound of a person walking behind him. The sudden appearance of a stranger. He's filled with fear. Are we not living in a nation that is fearful? People are fearful. Are you not fearful about your future? What you will do? What will happen to you? Where will you end up? For a Christian, we have our general concerns, the day-to-day things that happens to us. But in regards to our soul, you know, peace fills our heart. We know where we are going to be. We have that assurance that Jesus is ours, that the blood was shed for me on Calvary's cross so that I might be forgiven. So, yes, all kinds of things will happen to me. All kinds of painful things, unexpected things will come to me, as it happens to all other people. But to say I have fear in my heart? No. Why is that? Because I know there is one in heaven who paid the price for my soul, and I have peace with God. Is that you this morning? This man Cain, at this judgment of God upon him, filled with fear. And we are living in families that people are so fearful, worried, concerned. And it doesn't go away. It is always with them. That's one of the condemnation. You see, the Spirit of God replaces the spirit of fear with peace and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the fourth thing I want to say is this. That God's judgment does make us fearful. He was filled with fear because of this. And that I want to say that even though we are made to fear, 2,000 years ago, the judgment of God came upon God's beloved Son so that we may not no longer have any fear. There is another blood, as I mentioned to you. It's recorded for us. For example, in Hebrews 12, verse 24, it says, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of a sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Here is the blood of a murdered man, but an utterly innocent man, wrongly condemned by men. This man, Jesus Christ, is without spot, without blemish, without any sin, without any guilt. It is the blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that speaks to him. What does it speak to him? I hope you have heard something about the finished work of Jesus Christ. I hope you have heard about what happened on Calvary. What does the death of the Lord Jesus Christ speak to you? If you were to think about it, if you think about your own wife, your own child, your own friend, covered with blood, and you see them, what will that speak to you? Does it say anything to you? What does that sight of someone else with blood on them, what does that cry out to you? Would you not be touched with feelings of love for that person? Would you not be concerned? What has happened? The bleeding wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ cries out compassion upon sinners. The bleeding wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ calls out to his Father, Father, forgive them. Father, have mercy upon them. These people who are far from thee, Lord, bring them to thyself. Lord, save these souls for whom I died. And the father loves his son. He has always loved his son. And yet he gave himself, knowing that his son will come to be punished instead of us. That his blood would run down the cross. The father knew all of that. But for the sake of us, for his grace that he wanted to show towards us, he sent his son, and Jesus Christ came not kicking and screaming, but he came voluntarily to pay the price of our sins. Do you receive that? Do you get this? This is what it says, that the blood of Christ speaks better things. It's not calling condemnation. The blood of Jesus Christ is not saying, Father, condemn all of these sinners. He says, save these sinners. These poor sinners, save them. In my place, the hymn says, condemned he stood. You see, why was Jesus punished in such a way? Because God takes sin seriously. The same way as he took the sin and the murder of Abel seriously and came and spoke to Cain about it. He took it so seriously that when his son was on the cross, he forsook him. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Lord Jesus Christ says now to his father, Father, can you be indifferent to the fact that I shed my blood for sinners? If a man is seeking me, if a man is coming to me, can you be indifferent to that? If a man is repenting and believing and trusting in me, will you not receive him? Will you cast him out? And the father says, no, because my son, you shed your blood for such sinners who would trust in you. Friends, here it is then that I want you to think about. The ultimate judgment of God fell upon his son. That judgment that each one of us should bear fell upon his son. And through his death, you and I can say, well, I have all kinds of sins in my life. And all of us have. I have things that I don't want to even mention it. I have things in my life right now I don't want others to know. But I come to the Savior today. I come and I will trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I will get right with God today. I don't want to carry on another week to pursue a course that is filled with uncertainty, filled with fear, filled with God's judgment and curse. I don't want that. And if you're a child of God, how blessed are we? How God has been kind to us and gracious to us. How our future is certain. How the promises of God are new again today. How the Lord is near us. If you are filled with fear this morning, look again to the Savior. If you are concerned about what will happen to you in the coming days, and none of us will know what tomorrow will bring forth, but remember, you are safe if you are in Christ. There is nothing else to fear. And may God then make us hear the voice of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ too, which speaks peace, pardon. May the Lord then write these things upon our hearts. Amen. Let us